And those people who taught you your religion, you hold them accountable to their near and dear. And if someone comes along and says to you what they taught you or didn't correct, it does psychological damage and causes a visceral feeling and makes you automatically want to reject what that person thinks. With the exception of controversy, by the very nature of the fact that they analyze something, they left the religion and came to another religion. Those are human people. But for the most part, human beings live and die the same religion, the same way of life, the same thought pattern. It's called a homogeneous existence. So if you come from Pakistan, you live in Pakistan or Egypt or wherever, that group dominating the thought pattern around you is what you have. And more often than not, you live and die with that exact same thought pattern without ever having implemented a critical path analysis. So check it out to see if it's not. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent us for poor man. A book of guidance. And when you study that book, you have a full time that you can measure and analyze whatever any person says. I don't care what title they have, what position they hold. The Quran itself gives you that ability to implement a critical path analysis on any aspect of everybody's situation. But if you don't study Quran, if you don't think and ponder, then you don't have that ability. You become, by default, a follower. And then as a follower, you break up into categories. I'm a traditionalist, I'm a fundamentalist, I'm a modernist, I'm a secular, whatever. You get broken up. You follow that group and you gravitate to that group. Because you feel comfortable in a group that thinks like you think. And everybody's happy and they live and die like that. But our religion, by the very nature of it, is the anti-thesis of that type of thing. The very nature of our religion, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, so you follow what your fathers did, that's a metaphor for meaning you just follow what everybody around you is doing? No. That's not how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala designed it. He gave us an intelligence called bayan, this ability to think, to analyze, to reason, to deduce, to make decisions. It's the greatest gift that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given a human being. You can have no legs and still be productive in life. You can have no fingers, no arms, not even in eyesight, and still be productive in life. If you have intelligence. If you use the bayan that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives that. But I say to you, and I stand before you and declare this, we as Muslims collectively have advocated that. We've given it up. We find groups that we want to follow, a school of thought, a way of thinking that feels comfortable. That's not what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said for him. He said for him for us to think and analyze and challenge everything based upon the Quran of Quran. Now we may not always agree, but that's okay. But at least we're thinking and using that great gift that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us so that we can always perform a critical path analysis. And if you are not performing a critical path analysis on a regular basis, then you're brain dead. You're on autopilot. This is so important because we are at a crossroads as Muslims. the international world, as you, if you follow it, and by the very nature of the fact that so many of your immigrant listeners are here, and I ask yourself the question, why are you here? Because you know if you go back home, the way that you think here, it will be difficult to continue and survive, and even be among your family there. But by the very nature of the fact that you come here, you have to have some type of critical thinking, some type of analysis of what's going on around you. But if you go back there, if you look, if we, all of us, just observe what's going on, as you call it, back home, I would say, wow, this is unacceptable. This is not, this is un-Islamic everywhere you look. Everywhere. This is a war, turmoil, and fighting. Not just anything out there. Someone killed a little girl because she wanted to go to school. Even somebody killed a young man because he said something unacceptable. Syria, as we speak, wholesale slaughter, Iraq, Iran, tell you name it. And in every country, say something to challenge the political structure, the religious structure, you what? You go to jail. Get back. In Islam, the lost person, the lost is, let there be no compulsion in religion. Truth stands clear. That's the religion. No compulsion. So if somebody wants to be a Shiite, a Sunni, a Kadiyat, whatever, it doesn't matter. They have the right to be that. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to us in Quran, in relationship to us arguing with the Christians, do not curse or revile their God. He says, curse ours. And if there's arguing with them, discuss with them in the best of ways, in the best way. And nowhere does it say to slaughter someone who doesn't believe and understand the way that you understand. So I say to you, I say to myself, whatever that is that they believe in that has enabled them to kill other people regardless of who they are, I don't believe in that. I don't believe in that. That's not the Islam that I believe in. I'm separating myself and opening it and declaring it openly without hesitation. Whatever that is, whatever that Islam that they think they understand that allows them to kill other people, I don't believe in that Islam. It's not the Islam I believe in. And I know it's not the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad. This discussion that you must have with your children. Your children are looking at news and events and what other people are saying. And if you are not creating the discussion, if you are not having and initiating that discussion with your children, then what's the conclusion? Let's see. I believe in Islam. I'm a Muslim. And the Muslims over there killed this person, slaughtered these, murdered each other. Ooh, is that our religion? Is that what we do? Are we murdering, killing heathens? The answer is no. We are loving, tolerant people by the very nature of the word Al-Islam, the religion of peace. The religion of peace. That's the name of our religion. But if you look at us collectively, is that what you see? No. Not what you see. When you look at masjid, you feel, when you walk into a mosque, you feel this brotherhood? I don't. And I'm a person that almost people know everywhere I go. I feel that way. My family doesn't feel that way when we walk in certain mosques. Why? Because they broke it up into ethnic enclaves, and if you don't think and dress and act like they act, then you're not in with us. Amazing what we become. Yes. When you start to deviate, just think about this. Exactly. Just fine. You're driving.
supposed to be.
Because the moment you go off, the further you go, the farther you deviate. And we as Muslims have continued to follow without deviating. We have not performed a critical path analysis on ourselves, on our cultures, on our nation, on our family. And we have been incorrect far, far away. Because the discussion is not happening in mosques. We're not criticizing ourselves. We're criticizing other people for criticizing us, but we're not taking a realistic, honest look at ourselves. Our ethnic enclaves that exist. Anybody doubt me? Hey, I can start naming them. I can name mosques that are ethnic enclaves. You know because some of you go to it. And look around. Ask yourself this. Whatever race or nationality you are, ask yourself this. When was the last time you ever had a person who wasn't of the same race and nationality in your house with their feet under your table eating with you? Ooh. Whoa. Feels uncomfortable when I say that, doesn't it? But we say we're a religion of brotherhood. We have this ummah, I'm telling you, it doesn't exist. Telling you we are broken up into sex and ethnic enclaves and colors and races. We're all of that because we deviated, and the longer we deviated, the bigger the gap was. And so wide now, everybody's comfortable where they are. Comfortable where they are. But I say to you this day, we must perform a critical path analysis on ourselves first, work on that, our children, and say, starting right here, there's a new way. I'm going to start studying this religion. I'm going to start analyzing this religion. I'm going to join the group of Ulio Bad, those who think and ponder. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to think, and I'm going to ponder, and I'm going to study, and I'm not following anybody. Because this religion is a religion between the individual and his Lord. And on the day of judgment, we will be judged individually. No human being can say, well, Allah, I was a Hanbali, I was a Maliki, I was a Sunni, I followed the Sunnis. No. You, me, individually, facing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment. Just me. And my study, my way of life, what I did, will also judge. Everybody's going to affect. Part of the reason, that is our religion. So I say all of this to remind myself. Whatever you permit, please move up to the people in the back of this public. Move up. Allah says in the Quran, make room in Allah's still. Don't you want Allah to knock out and make room for you in general? So make room. So in conclusion, my beloved friends, I have to say these things as a khatib. I don't often hear khutbah, but I do take time off and go to other masjids to listen. And I'm not hearing the khatib talking this type of talk, challenging the Muslims to think, ponder, analyze, and challenge the way that they are. No, it's the opposite. Everybody's a traditionalist. Most people want to hear traditional things. This is what the khatib says, some ayah, some hadith, and tells us. We've been doing this for 1,000 years, and look at us. We must analyze it. We must challenge ourselves to grow and become a better Muslim, to increase our understanding of the religion of Islam so that it will change the way we practice. Because almost everybody is happy with the way they practice Islam and the way that they understand it. But if it was on the right path, if it was true and valid, we wouldn't be in a condition of work today at this moment.
cook it in the fire.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. La ilaha illallah. وحده لا شريك له. لا ملك ولا الحمد وهو أعلى كل شيء كبير. ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد حبيبك ورسولك نبي أمي وعلى آله وسلم. My beloved brothers and sisters, it's difficult for me to stand up here and say things like this because it is abnormal. Because most of the Qatis dust off khutbahs, review them, and regurgitate them to you all the time. They remind you of things that you already know. They keep repeating, but they're not challenging you in the very core and nature of your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Your very understanding of this religion. I'm challenging myself in you. Question. The way that you understand the religion, the way that you're following it, and think and ponder, is there a better way that you can pass on to your children? Because as adults, most adults never change. Once you hit 40, that's it. Very few adults are dynamic enough to change anything at 40. How about the magic game? It's hopefully true that they won't grow up with the same way of life. And I'll give you another example of my something that just irritates me to know you. You see, I know this is going to feel uncomfortable, and a lot of people do. But I'm saying it's common enough. Here's one of the most interesting things that we as Muslims do among a lot of people. We are taught to recite Quran in Arabic without ever knowing what we're saying. And there could be a kid who learns how to recite Quran and memorize the Quran and recite it even beautifully. Oh, we're so happy. Brothers and sisters, we must understand Quran. Memorizing Quran and reciting it beautifully is not why the Quran was revealed. I know this makes you feel uncomfortable. It's not the reason why the Quran was revealed. It was revealed as a book of guidance to save us from the hellfire and get us into the Jannah. And reciting Quran in Arabic so beautifully without understanding what we're saying doesn't even compare to the value of understanding one single ayah and implementing it in your life. Teaching your children to understand even one ayah and living it that day is better than memorizing Quran and reciting it in Arabic and having got a clue of what you just recited. But that's a way of life that they taught us. And we followed it blindly. We followed it blindly. And I'm telling you, I know it feels uncomfortable. Nobody ever cares. We've got to change that. The children have to know what it says. They have to understand. They must. That is essential. There to Islam. You know what the Quran says. And all you're doing is relying on other people. All you are is like a herd of cows following the herd, and if somebody spooks the cattle, what do? They take off in the stampede, and if there's a cliff, they go all up. What do? They all fall off the cliff. They all fall off the cliff. And then if one of those cows veer off, another cow, hey, get back over here, then you're going this way. Joke. In all seriousness, really, just thinking about it, it's so preposterous. But that's what we do every day at Muslims. We follow the herd. We follow it and we feel comfortable. We regurgitate hadiths without even thinking about it. Where did it come from? What's the meaning of it? Even understanding the politics
sharing the Hadith books. That's a whole other subject. Not reading books right now. We need to have the equivalent. So I'll conclude with this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and in the end, you shall all be returned to me, and I will tell you the truth and the meaning of everything that you have done. And none, O mankind, men and women, boys and girls and children, none, O mankind, can tell you like the one who is an expert on everything that you did and thought. And in the end, you shall be returned, and I will tell you the truth and the meaning of all that you have done. And none of mankind can tell you the one who is the expert of all of you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy on me and all of us. May God have ever so to be a guide of us. Oh Allah, put the line in front of us and behind us. On our right and on our left. Above us and below us. In our hearts, in our minds, in our whole existence. Oh Allah, please brighten our faces on the day that some of the faces will be black and with gloom and shade. Oh Allah, so over us that we may be grateful for the gifts and the blessings which you have bestowed upon us and our families, and that we may work righteousness that will please you. And admit us, O Lord, by your rahmah, the rest of the righteous. Now Allah, please unite us and all of our families in a religion based on that is all guys, Muslims, guided by you, Allah.
الله أكبر
الله and Lord has come out, but we never know how to fly. Allahu Akbar! Allahu Akbar! وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الرحمن علم القرآن خلق الإنسان علمه البيان الشمس والقمر في بستان والنجم والشجر يسجدان والسماء رفعها ووضع الميزان ألا تبغوا في الميزان وأقيموا الوزن بالقسط ولا تبذلوا الميزان والأرض وضعها للأنام فيها فاتحة والنحل ذات أمان والحبوب الأصل والرجان فبأي آلاء ربكما تكذبان. الله أكبر. سمي الله بمن الله أكبر.